That's the deepest level of Achdus Hashem, the unity of Hashem. And that's what he's saying here. He's explaining, what does Hashem Echad mean ultimately? That Atu Hu Achle Nivrael, you're the same way you were before you created the world. You were alone. There was nothing else. Atu Hu Mishim, even during creation, while you're creating the world and you're speaking in Hashem's creativity, there's nothing else. All there is Hashem. And that's why he says, Atu Hu Ba'ilam Hazav, Atu Hu La'ilam Abba. He says, who the whole time? Who? Atu Hu, Atu Hu. You are in this world, you are in the world to come. Atu and who seem to be a contradiction. Atu is direct, you. He's speaking to Hashem directly. Who is he? Someone else, like third person. Baruch Atah, you're speaking Baruch Atah, you're talking to Hashem directly, and all of a sudden, Hashem Elokeinu, you switch to third person. Atah, you, who? Him. What is it? And the answer is, there's two aspects of Hashem. There's the aspect of Hashem where Hashem revealed himself to us as a creator. If Hashem did not create, we wouldn't even know the existence of Hashem. It's because Hashem creates the world, and we know that there's a creator, we feel, just like we know our own soul, we know there's a soul, even though we've never seen our soul, we've never heard our soul, we never touched our soul. I'm more certain of my soul than anything in the world I can scientifically taste, touch, smell, take into a laboratory. That's what I experience. That's the life within me. So I look at the world, I see there's a soul, there's Hashem. So I see there's a creator and there's a life, and Hashem is the soul of the world and the creator of the world. So Hashem made himself known to us. But this is just a glimpse. That's not the essence of Hashem. Hashem's ability to create is completely insignificant to Hashem. Hashem is so beyond being a creator. All religion is about acknowledging that God is the creator. That's religion. But Judaism is about understanding and realizing, and that's Jewish faith, Hashem a creator, that's nothing. That's what Hashem is all about. Hashem is not about creating. Of course, creating something from nothing is an impossibility. Only God can create something from nothing. It's miraculous. It's unbelievable. Yeah, but that's not what Hashem is about. Hashem can hardly even find it within himself, the ability to create. It's completely insignificant. The ability to create is like one word to Hashem in comparison to a person. What's one word? It's nothing. It's a non-event. Creation is a non-event to Hashem. It means nothing. Hashem is so beyond that. That's the who. We recognize that Hashem is so beyond. And he just allowed us to get a little glimpse. He became a creator. So we know that there's a God. So we know there's a creator, there's a God. But it's just a glimpse. It's a tip of the tip of the tip that tells us about Hashem himself is so transcendent, is so beyond. We can't even begin to describe what is Hashem. The moment I open my mouth and I say anything, it's already not Hashem. It's not an accurate description of what Hashem is. Who? Who? Like the opening of the Ten Commandments. Anoichi, I, who am I? That's all you can say. I, who am I? There's no name. You can't give Hashem a name, a description. You can't call him creator. You can't call him Hashem. You can't call all the names. Hashem is so beyond that. All Hashem says, I, who am I? You can't capture me in words. You can't be hinted at. The essence of Hashem. So we're saying, Atahu, you are the same. This Hashem who's the creator, this is you, it's Hashem's essence. We're connecting with Hashem's essence. And Hashem's essence is the same before he created the world. Hashem was alone before he created the world. Hashem is alone during creation. Nothing else in relation to Hashem's essence. We don't even exist. To the sun, the light doesn't even exist. It's a non-being, it's a non-entity. It's in a state of non-being and non-existence. Of course, it's Hashem's ability to create, so it's not an illusion. It's Hashem is creating, but it's nothing to Hashem. It's a non-event, it's nothing. And that's who we're connecting with. That's who we're davening to. That's what davening is all about. That's what we're connecting with. Atahu actually nivreilam. Atahu mish nivreilam. Atahu boilam haza. You are in this world, v'atu leilam habo, and in the world to come. And we ask Hashem, kadesh shimcha beilamecha, please. Sanctify your name in your world. Al'am magdish shmech, on your nation, on the Jewish people, on your chosen people, on your holy people, and those who sanctify your name. Publicly sanctify your name.
Because the truth is, everything that you do, even in privacy, is a Kiddush Hashem. When you're tempted to sin, and you overcome that temptation only for the sake of Hashem, like Joseph HaTzadik, Yosef HaTzadik, no one would ever know. She would never tell. He could have done it. No one would ever know. But for the sake of Hashem, he ran away. That's sanctifying Hashem's name. But that's Mekadshei Shemecha. He doesn't say Mekadshei Shemecha. He says Magdishei Shemecha. Those who make others sanctify Hashem's name by publicly sanctifying Hashem's name. That when Jews were challenged, Jews were ready to give up their life, publicly give up their life and martyr themselves. And that martyr inspired other Jews to be dedicated and devoted to Hashem, to love their Yiddishkeit, to live their Yiddishkeit. So we ask Hashem, please, sanctify your name in your world. Let your holiness, Kaddish, Kiddush Hashem. A Jew's essence is to bring the holiness of Hashem into this world, the transcendent essence of Hashem into this world. And we do that when we sanctify Hashem's name, when we go beyond our nature. Ubeshu Ascha, with your salvation, Malkeinu, our King, Torum, may you raise the Tagbiya, and you exalt Karneinu, our strength. The analogy is a keren is a horn. You know, when the animal's horn is high, you know the animal is tranquil, is at peace. When the animal is in danger, threatened, what does he do? He lowers his head and he attacks you, defends himself with his horn. We say, lift up our horn. In other words, we should live in tranquility. We should be able to lift up our horn and lift up high. Vayishienu bekarev, deliver us speedily, leman shemecha, for the sake of your name. Baruch hamakadesh shmoy berabim. Blessed is he who sanctifies his name amongst the multitude. So even though we don't say Hashem's name, but we say like a blessing, Baruch, that Hashem should sanctify his name amongst the multitude. Because when Hashem will help his people, his holy people, his chosen people, and he will help them, then his name will be sanctified. Because the Jewish people are directly associated with Hashem. So any help, any salvation that he gives to the Jewish people, he's publicizing and sanctifying his holiness, his name. We are his people. The world will never let us forget. We are his people. We are the Jewish people. Just today, the vicious anti-Semites came out and attacked Israel again, calling them an apartheid state, apartheid, you know, attacking the Jewish people again, trying to malign, discredit, humiliate, denigrate, you know, all these vicious anti-Semitic attacks against Jews. So they'll never let us forget that we are Jewish and we are the chosen people, Hashem's holy people, holy nation. Even if we forget, they'll never let us forget. So any salvation that happens to the Jewish people, Hashem is sanctifying his name, publicly sanctifying his name. And that's the best way to sanctify Hashem. Because it's interesting, of the 613 mitzvot, this week's Torah portion, the mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name. B'nigdashti b'seir b'nei Yisrael. So in this mitzvah 295, mitzvah 296, leisachallu, you're not allowed to make a chil Hashem. And the mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name. It's the only mitzvah, the 630 mitzvot, which is stated in a very weird way, in a very strange way. All the mitzvot in the Torah are direct commandments. Uksharitim, like we just read in the Shema. Tie the tefillin on your hands, put it on your head, write the mezuzah. It's a direct commandment. Love Hashem. Here, the mitzvah is, it's told by like a fact, a story. V'nigdashti, the Torah says, Hashem says, I will be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. Why didn't he give a direct directive? V'kidashtim, I see, you should sanctify me. As it says in the negative, loisachalulu, don't desecrate my name. So Richard said, you should sanctify my name. He doesn't say that. V'nigdashti, very strange. So Rashi is bothered by this question. And Rashi gives an unbelievable answer. He says,
in the Chumash, this week's parasha, he says, what's the ultimate Kiddush Hashem? When a person dies for Hashem? Or when miraculously the person who's ready to die for Hashem, with no expectations of being saved, he's ready to die. And yet, miraculously, Hashem saved them. Like what happened to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were saved. They were thrown into the fire and they were saved. Like what happened to Avraham Avinu. They didn't want to bow down before the idol. They refused to bow down. They were thrown into the fire. And miraculously, they were saved. Which is a greater Kiddush Hashem? How do you sanctify Hashem's name? By publicly demonstrating and showing your total dedication and devotion to Hashem, that you're ready to make the ultimate sacrifice for Hashem, despite the fact you love life so much, Jews love life so much, but we're ready to make the ultimate sacrifice for Hashem. God forbid to deny my Jewishness and my relationship with Hashem. Or, when you're ready to die for Hashem, and then miraculously Hashem saves us, He gives us a salvation, a miraculous salvation that everyone sees. Look what a holy people these people are. Hashem Himself, look, they are the chosen people. They are God's people. They are a holy people. Hashem is performing such an unbelievable, publicly visible miracle just for them. So that's why the Pasuk says, that's the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. That's why the Pasuk says, V'nikdashti, I will be sanctified. Because the sanctification is not your part, the fact that you're ready to die for Hashem. That only triggers the ultimate sanctification, which comes from Hashem. So Hashem says, V'nikdashti, I will be sanctified. Not you will sanctify me. I will be sanctified. Hashem sanctifies. But it's triggered through your readiness to die for Hashem. Unbelievable. Chassidus explains that because a Jew's readiness to die for Hashem, not to bow down to the idol, not to deny his Jewishness, makes absolutely no sense from a purely logical point of view, even from the logic of Yiddishkeit, of Torah, mitzvot. From a Torah logic, it makes no sense. If a person has to be ready to violate all 630 mitzvot, with the exception of the three cardinal sins, in order to sustain life, why in the world would I throw away my life and by not bowing down to the idol? Idolatry is if you believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it's not idolatry. The anti-Semite who's holding a gun to your head and forcing you to bow down, he knows you despise him and you despise his idol. Why are you bowing down? You want to live. You don't want to die. So it's not really idolatry. So why would you throw your life away to prove what? It makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no logic behind it. You're just capriciously throwing your life away? To prove what? It's not really idolatry. And the non-Jew knows it, it's not idolatry. The story of Hanukkah, Hannah and the seven sons. When it came down to the youngest, the baby, the youngest boy, six of his older brothers died, were murdered. The king was so humiliated, this mighty, powerful king. The whole world buckled to him and trembled before him. And these young Jewish boys defied him publicly and openly in his own court. He would rather die than bow down. He was so embarrassed, humiliated, he said, listen, I'll throw my ring on the floor. Do me a favor, just bend down, pick up the ring. So everyone else would think that you're bowing down. But you and I know you're just bending down to pick up the ring and you don't have to die. You're the last, your mother's last son. At least you'll have one child left. And the little boy, the wise little young boy says, oi, king, you're worried about your humiliation, appearance. You're so humiliated that it has the appearance. You're worried about appearances. What about the appearance of the King of Kings, of Hashem? How will it look that I'm bowing down? You're not worried about the appearance that it appears that I'm bowing down to the idol? It appears that I'm denying my God? It appears that I'm denying my Jewishness just to save my life? And he refused to bow down. The king was so furious, he killed him. And then Hannah, the mother, said, turned to Hashem, Avraham offered one child. I offered seven of my children. And she jumped off the roof. Now, what was the point? Why shouldn't the kid bow down? And all the seven sons, all the brothers. I mean, they had such courage, such heroism. Imagine, had they lived, they would have been the greatest Tanoim.
They would have been the greatest rabbis with that spirit, with that courage. Why throw their life away? For what? To prove what? So even from a Torah logic, it makes no sense. But yet, this becomes the essence of Judaism. This is what makes us a holy people. We're a holy people because this is beyond logic. It's beyond the ego, logical, rational mind. Our connection to Hashem is so deep, is so profound, that to be disconnected from Hashem, even if it's just for appearance, even if it's only external, superficial, it's simply not an option for a Jew. That's my life. Hashem is my life. I can't be unplugged, disconnected for a split second, just like you can't stop living for a second. You can't take a recess from life for a split second. And this becomes the essence of our entire Judaism. This mitzvah becomes the point of the entire Judaism. And that's why we start the day with the Shema, the introduction. This is the Shema, love Hashem with all your life, readiness to give up your life for Hashem. This is what makes us holy. This relationship that we have with Hashem, this Jewish faith, this inheritance, this treasure, this is what we cherish. This is what's located at the center of our being. This becomes the whole, my raison d'etre. This is what I live for, to bring holiness into this world, to bring Hashem's holiness into the world. That's the purpose of my day, the purpose of my life, the purpose of everything that I do. So we ask Hashem, just like we're ready to sanctify His name. So by Hashem giving us salvation, that's the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. I'm a Kaddish, my Barabim. Let Hashem make the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. Not by anyone dying, on the contrary. By giving us a salvation and saving us and showing that the Jewish people are triumphant and godliness and holiness and Yiddishkeit and morality and ethics are triumphant. That will be the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. And then the next piece, a continuation. Atu Hashem Elokim b'shamayim v'aretz. You are Lord God in heaven and on earth. B'shmei Hashemayim ol yeinim. And the lofty heaven of heavens. Everything has a root, everything has a source. Just like a tree has a root, a building has a foundation. So the earth and the heavens also have a root and a source. The difference is, in this world, the root and the source are on the bottom, and the foundation on the bottom. And you build on top of the foundation, and the tree grows from the root. In heaven, it's the exact opposite. The root is higher, and from the heaven of heavens, it branches out into the heavens and into the earth. What does he say in the heaven and the earth? So Hasidus says, because here he's a continuing on the theme of unity. In the theme of unity, there's two approaches to unity. There's heaven, a heavenly approach, and there's an earthly approach. In other words, from the top down or from the bottom up. And they're both correct. And this is the classical argument between Shammai and Hillel, what was created first. The heaven was created first, or the earth was created first. And the Talmud brings Psukim, Hillel brings Psukim to prove that the earth was created first, says Oysa Shemayim V'aretz. Hillel says no, it says Bereishis Bara Elokim Oysa Shemayim V'aretz. First Hashem created heaven and earth. And it says the earth is Hashem's footstool, heaven is His throne. So first you have a throne and then you make the footstool. And Hillel brings a pasuk, it says no. It says Hashem build Shemayim Ali Yosef. It's like a second story. Heaven is like a second story. First you have to have the first story, you build on top. And then the Gemara concludes, of course, everyone holds that reality is Hashem created heaven first, Bereishis Bara Elokim Shamayim V'aretz. The question is, what is the purpose of creation? The purpose is heaven or the purpose is earth? First, Hashem created heaven and earth, but His purpose, His intent was, ultimate purpose is earth and then heaven. But what are they arguing about? Everyone holds that the purpose is earth. Shammai also agrees. Hashem created the soul, comes down into this world. He gave us the Torah here on earth. The temple was built here on earth. Mashiach is going to be here on earth. Resurrection is going to be here on earth. Well, what's the argument? So Hasidus explains that in the unity of Hashem, which is what the Shema is all about, Hashem Echad, there's two different approaches. And it's expressed in the Yiddish expression. It's two different expressions. Als is Elokus, Elokus is Alts. Everything is godliness, or godliness is everything. What does that mean? And how is it different? He's saying the same thing? So you have one approach to unity is that you realize that Hashem is infinite. And because Hashem is truly infinite, therefore Hashem creates this multiplicity of existence. All of the multiplicity of existence and all the layers of consciousness and all the different levels and myriads of worlds and realities, it's all an expression of Hashem's infinity. Hashem is so infinite that he can create this whole complex, multiple universes and multiplicity of beings and entities and layers and levels. And so you see a pluralistic existence, but it's not a fragmented world, a divided world, a separate world. You see in the world and everything that Hashem created, you see an expression of Hashem's infinity, of Hashem's greatness, of Hashem's infinite capacity, that he can express himself in a zillion and in almost infinite different ways. It's like one light expresses itself in so many different ways. Every one of them brings out the truth of Hashem in its own unique way. Whether it's water or fire or anything that exists brings out the truth of Hashem in its own way. And there's infinite expressions of that ultimate truth. As it says, everyone sings a song. There's a song of the birds and there's a song. Every creature, every entity in this world sings Hashem, brings out the truth of Hashem and Hashem's reality. So that's the greatness of Hashem, that Hashem could create so many seemingly infinite variety, and all of them are saying the same thing. All of them are bringing out in their own unique way, in their own colorful way, bringing out the truth and the reality of Hashem. So that's a unification. But it's a unification that comes from the top down. Hashem, the infinite, and then Hashem creates this explosion and multiplicity of beings and entities, which all express the truth and the reality of Hashem. That's from the top down. Then there's from the bottom up. The bottom up is that you realize that everything that exists in this world is really, like we discussed earlier, is in a state of non-being and non-existence. Like when a person speaks words, but these words were, before you spoke them, they were within you. You didn't even know you had these words. Until you spoke these words, you didn't even, before you thought these words, you didn't even realize that you have these words. These words didn't come from thin air. You had it. You couldn't even find it. It's like when you take pure water and you cook it in the pot. You'll always find sediment. Where was the sediment? I put it through the filter 13 times. It's pure. You cook it, all of a sudden, the sediment didn't come from thin air. They were in the water. But it was in a state of non-being and non-existence. When you cook it, suddenly, I find the sediment. Where were those words before you spoke? They were within you. Yet, I didn't even know I had it. Because it's a non-being, it's a non-entity. The reality is that even when Hashem speaks, it's like before he speaks. So everything that exists really is within Hashem, but in the state of non-being and non-existence are absolutely unified within the absolute unity of Hashem. So our true state of being is non-being and non-existence. So here you take everything that exists and you bring it to that one point, that single point, that unity of Hashem, that nothing exists besides Hashem. And the implication of these two different approaches, from the top down or the bottom up, whether Alts is Gott or the Gott is Alts, God is everything or everything is God, it's approaching it from two different angles. You start out with God, Gott is Alts, or Alts is Gott. From God you go to Alts, or from Alts you get to go to God. From the bottom up or from the top down. Heaven or earth. The practical implication is you have two different types of Jews, two different types of tzaddikim. And the Rebbe Rashab said, you had tzaddikim who were completely divorced from this world. Their whole being was immersed in prayer, in learning Torah. Because to them, they looked at this world, they connected the world with the absolute unity of Hashem. The world is in a state of non-being and non-existence. The world doesn't exist to them. All that exists is Hashem. So their whole life is immersed, total immersion in davening and connecting with Hashem and learning His Torah. Nothing else exists. Then you have the other tzaddik, who's engaged in good deeds. He's involved in the world. He's not escaping from the world. He's not removing himself from the world. He's involved in the world. But in every single aspect of this world, he sees the infinite. He sees Hashem. He finds Hashem. He sees Hashem in everything. That's like the difference in Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham was engaged in the world, engaged with everyone. Found Hashem in everyone. Yitzchak was remote. Yitzchak was, you know, like on the mountaintop. Yitzchak was completely at Shammai and Hillel. Two different approaches in life, from the top down or from the bottom up. All roads lead to Jerusalem. It's all, they're both expressing the deepest truth of the unity of Hashem, the absolute unity of Hashem, but in a totally different way. And that's why he says, Atu Hashem Elokim b'shamayim u'ba'aretz. Both of these approaches. Both of these approaches express the Atahu, that you, it's all you, there is nothing else but Hashem. But there's two different ways of expressing it. There's the Shamayim or the Aretz. And in the heaven of heavens, Atu Rishon, you are the first. V'atu Acharon, and you are the last. Umibaladech, and in between, before Hashem created the world, and after the Umibaladech, and in between, during creation, right now, Ein Elokim, there's nothing besides Hashem. Chassidus explains, also Umibaladech, Ein Elokim. Elokim is not separate from you. Elokim is not just a concealment, a hiding. Elokim, the whole purpose of Elokim, of Hashem hiding himself and concealing himself, is actually to reveal Hashem, to bring Hashem into this world, to bring Hashem into every aspect of nature, into every aspect of existence, to reveal. Mibaladecha in Elokim. Elokim is not separate and apart from Hashem. Hashem's concealment and the whole purpose of concealment is actually to bring Hashem into every detail, into every aspect of nature, into every aspect of existence and life. So we plead and we ask Hashem, Kabes nefutzeis kevecha, please gather all the dispersed, kevecha, those who long for you, me'arba kanfis ha'aretz, and from all four corners of the world. There are those Jews who long for Hashem, so he gathers them, and then every Jew will be gathered. From all four corners of the world, even those who don't feel that longing, who don't know that they long for Hashem and how much they long for Hashem. Every Jew will be gathered from all four corners. Yakiru v'yedu kaboy olam. Let all mankind recognize and know. Ki atohu alikim levadcha. That you, Hashem, are alone. L'chol mamluchis ha'aretz. Over all the kingdoms of the earth. Ato sisa, you made the shemayim, the heavens. This aretz in the earth. It's a yam, the sea is kol shabam, the seas and all that's in there. There are more things happening in the sea than on land. And who, amongst all that you created, who can tell you what to do, matiful, what are you making? No one can tell Hashem. So Avinu shebashamayim, Father, our Father in heaven, Chai v'kayim, who's living and eternal. Asei imanu tzedakah, deal graciously and kindly with us, even if we don't deserve, even if there are those who argue, maybe we're not worthy. When Hashem was ready to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, there was a big accusation in heaven. Why are you saving the Jewish people? Why are you distinguishing between the Egyptians and the Jews? These are idolaters, and the Jews are also idolaters. So we're telling Hashem, who can tell you what to do? You don't have to consult with anyone, with the heavens. We're asking you to do an act of tzedakah and kindness. Bavur shimcha gadol, for the sake of your great name. Hagibur v'anoira, the mighty v'anoira. And the awesome name, shenikra leinu, which you associated with us. You are the Jewish God. We are the only ones in the universe who say Elokeinu, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. Angels can't say Elokeinu. No one in the universe could say Elokeinu. The Jewish people say Elokeinu. You have placed your name, you've called your name on us, the God of the Jews. So do an act of tzedakah and kindness for your sake, not for our sake. For your sake, for your name that's associated with us. V'kayim lanu Hashem Elokeinu, and fulfill our God, as Adover Shiftachtonu, that you promised, that Itzvanya Chezach, Itzvanya, your prophet, your seer, Ka'omer, as it says, and he quotes, Be'isihi, in that time, Aviyaschem, I will bring you. And that's referring to the known Jewish community, Be'is Kapsiyaschem. And then Hashem promises he's also going to bring back the 10 tribes, the lost tribes. He will gather them. Kieten eschem l'shem v'lishila, because I will make you renowned and glorified b'chol amei aretz, amongst all the people of the earth. B'shuv yishvaseichem le'enechem, when I return, bring back your captivity before your eyes, Amar Hashem. And there's also a hint to the resurrection. Hashem is telling Tzvanya, speaking to the Jews in his day and age, he's telling them, when your eyes will see the ingathering of the exile. What do you mean your eyes will see? You're talking about This was 2,000 years ago, because of the resurrection. You will be there. You'll see it with your own eyes, that all of Hashem's promises, Hashem will restore and gather the Jewish people. And since Hashem's name is associated with the Jewish people, when the Jewish people are gathered, and Hashem will do it publicly, that's why he says even the Hashem will make him renowned and glorified. And therefore, every Jew will be returned. Because that's the gift that the non-Jews are going to give to Mashiach. What kind of gift are the non-Jews going to give to Mashiach? They're going to give him some stock options. You know, the only thing that will matter to Mashiach, the only thing of value is, they'll find a Jew, a lost Jew, a Jew who's intermarried, a Jew who's lost, anywhere in the world. The Goyim are going to pick him up, hand-deliver him to Yerushalayim, to Mashiach, in the Beis HaMikdash, and say, we found a Jew. That's the most precious gift. There won't be a single Jew in the world anyway. There won't be anywhere to run. There won't be anywhere to hide. Any Jew who's born to a Jewish mother who will converted halachically will. The Goyim will bring him and bring him home. And that will be Mashiach's gift. So when Hashem will return and we'll see it with our own eyes, Amar Hashem. So we're asking Hashem that that day should be today. That moment should be now. That's the Kiddush Hashem. The Jew is ready to martyr himself for Hashem, to die in Kiddush Hashem, and not only to die for Hashem, but to live his life for Hashem, which is really an act of Kiddush Hashem. To live a Jewish life today, in the 21st century, on the Upper East Side, 24-7, to act Jewish, speak Jewish, think Jewish, and anywhere in the world, is really an act of Kiddush Hashem. It's an act of self-sacrifice. It's an act of martyrdom. With everything and all the messages of society and everything where society is heading, everything that's happening around us, to keep your head high, to keep your eye focused on the ball, and to actually carry it out and live a Jewish life, it's really an act of Kiddush Hashem. It's an act of sacrifice, day in, day out. All day, every moment of the day. So we're acting Hashem, we're asking Hashem, Hashem should do an act of Kiddush Hashem. What's Hashem's act of Kiddush Hashem? What's Hashem's act of Kiddush Hashem? Bring Mashiach. Gather the exiles. And if he has to sacrifice, for whatever reason, it doesn't fit into his plan, he's not ready yet, he thinks we're not ready or the world is not ready, whatever it is. So we ask Hashem, be Mekadosh, Shmoy Barabim. That's Hashem's act of Kiddush Hashem. That's Hashem's obligation. That's Hashem's mitzvah. And just like a Jew is ready to die in Kiddush Hashem, even though it makes no logical sense, even it goes even against the logic of Torah. See, even if the Bezron Sholmai lived by the logic of Torah, it makes no sense that the Jewish people should be redeemed. Maybe we're not worthy, we're not ready. Whatever it is, whatever calculation may be, that's the essence of Kiddush Hashem. Throw all the calculations overboard. This is not about calculations, it's beyond calculations. It's about that a Jew cannot be disconnected from Hashem, even for appearance sake, even for a split second, even only external or superficial. So how can Hashem be separated from his people? Even if it's only for a moment, even if it's only for appearance sake, even if it's only external, Hashem has to go beyond all calculations and he has to sacrifice himself and bring Mashiach this moment, physically bring Mashiach, openly and reveal his relationship with us. And it can't be any other way. And this relationship has to be open and revealed. Just like a Jew is ready to die to openly and in a revealed way show and demonstrate his relationship with Hashem. That's his life. That's everything to him. So to Hashem, the Jewish people are everything to Hashem. And he has to throw all calculations on the side and immediately, this moment, this second literally, has to bring Mashiach literally, even though it says that the whole exile is for a second to Hashem. Because Hashem is infinite. The whole exile is just for a second. But even for a second, you can't take a recess from life for a second. How can Hashem disconnect himself from us even for a second, even for appearance sake, even if it's only external and superficial? Hashem has a mitzvah, an obligation. He practices what he preaches, what he demands from us. He has to fulfill himself. He has to sacrifice himself. Sacrifice all the calculations immediately and gather us in. And demonstrate his kiddushin, his marriage to the Jewish people, consummate his marriage, and reveal in an open way, in a revealed way, the relationship, the love, the connection,
the deep core central connection that every Jew and the entire Jewish people have with Hashem. And may it happen now.
I had a question from last week, if you recall, about the Shema and the covering of the eyes.
Yes, yes, yes. Why do we cover our eyes? So the simple reason is that to remove any distractions. Shema Yisrael, we're saying something so profound, something so counterintuitive, that if you look around you, it's hard to believe. You say Hashem Echad, in the ultimate sense, that there's no other reality but Hashem, and you look around, really? I see myself, I see a big world out there. I see a world that doesn't even acknowledge Hashem, let alone that there's no other reality but Hashem. A whole world that doesn't even acknowledge Hashem, period. And here I'm saying Hashem Echad, the world is nullified, the world is unified, and in the absolute unity of Hashem, Hashem, the world is one, and the world is one with Hashem. God is Alt is God, everything is God, God is everything. You open your eyes, you look, you don't see it. It's very difficult. You can understand something in your brain, conceptually, from today till tomorrow, but what I see with my eyes, it's. If Einstein came and proved to you that it was dark outside, 10 Einsteins, proved to you with irrefutable logic that it was dark outside, and you look at your eyes and you see a sun, it's very hard. I'm sorry, I see the sun. It's very nice. So here you're saying Hashem Echad, but with our eyes I see a world. I see a big world that it completely ignores Hashem, as if he doesn't even exist, God forbid. And here I'm saying not only God exists, not only God runs and controls the world, not only is God unified, but that we are unified within the unity of Hashem. Nothing exists besides Hashem. Hashem is alone. It's so counterintuitive. A goy can't even understand that. It makes absolutely no sense. But so for a Jew, twice a day we have to close our eyes. Forget what your lying eyes are telling you. That's nonsense. The reality is Hashem Echad. And that's the foundation of Jewish faith. Everything flows from there. It's the ultimate expression of Jewish faith. If it's just to proclaim that we believe in monotheism, we believe in one God and two gods, firstly, why do you have to say it twice a day? It's elementary. That's simple. And why do you have to close your eyes and concentrate? But since we mean on the deepest level, Hashem Echad is only one reality, that you have to close your eyes, cover your eyes, concentrate, and really, really get it, and really experience it. Then when you open your eyes, I see a different world. I see a world that expresses Hashem every step of the way. Mm-hmm.